I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And Chris Payne.
What's up?
Want to give a little shout out to Eric Ramirez, feeling a little under the weather. Couldn't be here today.
Feel better, Erica.
Feel better, Erica.
I'm still IMing her about rap mixtapes. I was like, oh, I really like this mixtape.
Oh, so she's,
like,
she's well enough to type?
Yeah, she's well enough to type.
Not be on the podcast.
I was like, I really like this mixtape. And she's like, I'm sick. I can't handle this. Stop IMing me. No mixtapes when I'm sick.
No mixtape talk when you're sick.
I feel like we get sick a lot and we always talk about it.
We do, yeah. I would like to point out I have not been sick yet for the podcast.
Yeah, I haven't been sick either, honestly.
And I really have a terrible immune system. I don't know why. It's just, it's worked out. I only get sick on weekends. We'll get to music in 2 seconds, I promise. But I have the worst luck where I get sick on Friday and then I'm fine by Monday. So I like never miss any work. I just get my weekends
I heard you. I actually heard you were pretty sick on Friday.
I was very sick on Friday, yes.
But by choice.
I got, I wouldn't say by choice, but there were some free shots coming our way.
And, wow.
You know,
for our listeners, one of our coworkers had a birthday party. And I heard Joe had a great time. And I'm sorry I couldn't be there.
Fun.
Sorry I couldn't be there, man.
Instead, how about we talk about these sick beats?
Oh,
you can't say that. Taylor Swift's trademarked it.
Taylor Swift's legal team is gonna fight me now.
We'll have to bleep
and make me take down all my Taylor Swift things on Etsy.
Cease and desist.
Anyway, so before we get to music, I just want to say that we have the Mowglis stopped by for a special in-studio performance and interview. So stick around to the end of the podcast or fast forward to the end of the podcast if you want, because we have them. The new song is called
Don't
I'm Good.
Tell them
it's
fast
really
forward.
Great.
You want to hear us?
I don't want people to fast forward.
This is
going to
be a
lively
show.
I want them to acknowledge that they can do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Mowglis will be coming up in a bit. Let us talk about, should we start with Kendrick or Madonna? I'm going to toss that to you, Jason.
It's up to you. It's up to you. Those are your picks.
Well, I'm going to start with Madonna because I always love Madonna. So
yeah.
We've got right after her Grammy performance, which I thought was incredible. We haven't talked about Living for Love specifically on this podcast. It's really grown on me.
I think we did. We talked about Bitch and Madonna. Okay.
Anyways, did Living for Love, sounded great at the Grammys. Released three new songs a few hours after. It seems the one that she's kind of like, the one that made it to Spotify, which makes me think she's trying to give the most attention to, is called Iconic. I'm not crazy about it. It's
That's
another
the one
like
with Mike Tyson.
It's
and
with
Chance
Mike
the Rapper,
Tyson.
Right?
It just gives
I haven't
me
heard
a,
that one
a
yet.
Weird. It's okay. It's an okay song, but it starts out with this kind of empowering quote from Mike Tyson, but it's actually him quoting Mussolini, which is kind of just like why are we.
Yeah, that's
but
a
that's
tough,
a fascist
that's a
dictator.
Call.
You know, that's not a.
Do you think Madonna knows?
Cool person. Oh, she definitely knows.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Why that? I mean, I don't know. Whatever. I mean, she also had her "Living for Love" video was like featuring a bunch of bullfighting, and at the end, she's like, "Bullfighting is vicious," says Friedrich Nietzsche. So who knows
so
what's going
awesome.
On? But so the song I wanted to shine a light on is called "Hold Tight." It is. Pretty like just a regular song. This one is not Diplo produced. It's Ryan Tedder produced. So it's a little smoother around the edges.
Okay.
A lot of fans have been kind of likening it to Power of Goodbye. I think that's a fair comparison, but I think the kind of sheen, the production sheen is very modern. Like it's, you know, more like pop as of, you know, 1 or 2 years ago as per the Ryan Tedder vibe.
Yep.
And, you know, it's not life changing. I just think it's a great great, nice Madonna song. It's got some Marshall drumming on it and a really sing-along chorus.
Yeah.
How do you think it compares, because you seem to be a bigger Madonna fan than I, how do you think it compares to her lead singles from the recent future or recent past?
I would say much better. I'm feeling okay. Really good about this Madonna album. The last one, MDNA, was kind of a slog to get through, honestly. Like, start to finish, the album is not good.
Because it's been a minute since she really had a big, relevant pop hit, aside from just coasting along and like, yeah, I'm Madonna, and because of that, you'll pay attention to these songs.
Well, that's kind of what I wanted to bring up, is that that's kind of the vibe I'm getting from this album a little bit. And it's not, I think these songs are fine, and I thought I'm surprised to hear that you really love the performance, because I thought the performance was, like, enjoyable, because it was Madonna, and she, like, at the end, she was like, everybody stand up, and then she ascended to heaven, which
incredible.
Was hilarious. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, like, if a non-Madonna artist put out these songs and did that performance, I don't think anyone would be talking about it.
That might be true of the performance. I do think Livin' for Love is one of the better songs of 2015.
Wow. That's the thing, is I say that saying I really like it, and I liked this song. Like, I didn't love it like you, but like, I just want something that stops me in my tracks.
You want her to be authoritative and not just be coasting on her legacy and like phoning in with B work.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You guys might be asking a little too much.
I don't know. It's like I listened to Living for Love and I was like, okay, this isn't like the smash, but this is a promising sign. That's kind of how I thought of it, because it was a great fusion of like past Madonna and present Madonna. Mm-hmm. Especially in terms of the production. And I feel like everything else I've heard from this album, I mean, when we talked about Bitch on Madonna, I was really down on it. And I remain really down on it. And this one's better. It's a little plain for me.
So. I think that's fair. And I think, you know, I mean, at this point in her career, she's not like the leading pop artist anymore.
Yeah.
And I think kind of as a big Madonna fan, there are many of us out there. You know, you kind of have to be expecting something that's like solid, maybe not going to change the game, but like a really solid, nice pop Madonna album. Something not, in my opinion, not like MDNA, which was like trying too hard to sound like the trends and just kind of like stale and distant. This has some warmth to it. I think she sounds comfortable and happy, which is why I'm digging this.
All right,
this sound. But let's listen to it. It's Madonna, Hold Tight.
As long as you're by my side, hold tight, everything's gonna be alright. Only love tonight, like stars will burn so bright.
Alright, that was Madonna, Hold Tight. Next up, let's talk, we've got a new Florence and the Machine song, or a new snippet of song.
Teaser
or something. It is called How Big, How Blue, How Beautiful. Do we know what the title of this next album is called?
No,
that hasn't been released yet.
Okay,
so we haven't heard much.
So yeah, so there's a video that came out today. I think it was today. Well, by the time podcast comes out, it won't be today.
Yeah.
Basically, it's this kind of orchestral Florence and the Machine song. What really surprised me about it is how like stately it sounds. Like the first album was kind of like soulful and rockin'. This is like really, I mean, I guess maybe this is like the intro to the album, but there's not a lot of like groove to it. It's pretty stately, I guess, is the fair word.
Yeah, it does sound like a big build up to something. And her last album really was just a series of massive songs with pummeling drum beat after pummeling drum beat, Florence singing the hell out of every song. And it feels like we could be in store for that, because this seems like a lead up to something of that caliber.
Yeah.
And are you happy about that? Or
I hope it's varied. I think that plays into Florence's strengths for sure. But Florence's last album, even though I liked it a lot, on the time side, it did run a little long, and it was starting to just be a repetition of one sort of song. And it's a song that she does very well, but I would like to see her try some different textures, some different vibes with her songwriting.
Yeah, I totally agree. I really like Florence and the Machine. I wouldn't call myself like a huge fan, but I'm pretty pumped for this record, because I feel like they've gathered so much kind of interest in them, and they're a great live band. They're playing a bunch of festivals this summer, which is cool. Then we're going to get to Alabama Shakes, who's another great festival band. And but it's just cool to see Florence Welch come back. And this is like Chris said, this is kind of just a teaser, but I also hope that she switches it up a little bit, because it seemed like this is a little, maybe a little bit of a stretch, but it seemed like between the first album and the second album, it was kind of like a Strokes, like, Is This It, Room on Fire, where like the first album was like genius to me, and then the second album was like, oh, this is more of the same, which is good. And then like the third album, like, this is the time I'm like, all right, let's change it up a little bit.
I feel like I loved Lungs, and you're right, live they're incredible. Lungs I really thought was fantastic. But yeah, Ceremonial's the second one I liked, but what kind of bugged me was that it wasn't actually more of the same. It was like more of the same minus the fun. Like, it was just a lot of the kind of like Chris was saying, like the varied sounds were taken out of it.
Yeah. It was so epic.
A little too epic, like, start
every,
to finish.
Every song was like 5.5 minutes, and by the 4 minutes, it was
right.
Like, ah!
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Every song can't be that, like, because you stop caring. But anyway, so I am a little, I guess, concerned is maybe a strong word, but with this teaser, it does seem like we're in for more, like, epic fair, like, this music sounds like it could be used, scored over Lord of the Rings or something, and it's like, do I want 60 minutes of that? Not really.
Although, in the pop game right now, there aren't too many artists as big as Florence or bigger who write music like that. So there is
that. That's true.
Yeah. It's true.
Even if it's samey within a Florence album, still compared to other pop artists and top 40, it's still different.
That is true.
Yeah.
It's not like I want her to, like, do All About That Bass or something.
Well, I don't know.
That would be incredible to hear Florence Welch sing.
I will say that on the first album, my favorite songs were, like, basically just pop songs, like Kiss with a Fist and Howl and some of those songs. They weren't as like epic as like a Dog Days Are Over. They were a little bit more compact, and I like that. They were just kind of like a short punch instead of like this elaborate like destruction move. So I hope that's what I'm hoping for with this album, I guess, a little bit more of that.
So we're cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously
is what it sounds like.
You know what the thing is with Florence is, like, whatever they put out, they're going to be an awesome live band. Like, that's to me is their essence. It's like, just see them live. Like, hopefully these songs are going to be great. If they're good instead of great, like, they're still going to be, it's still going to be a great concert.
That is true. All right. Well, let's listen to a snippet of the teaser, Florence and the Machine, How Big, How Blue, How Beautiful.
How blue, how beautiful.
All right, that was the new Florence. Next up, as Jason alluded to, let's talk about Alabama Shakes.
Yeah.
Got a new track called Don't Want to Fight.
Don't Want to Fight. I mean, the thing about Alabama Shakes is it's funny that we're talking about them and Florence in the same show, because I feel the exact same way about Florence and the Machine as I feel about Alabama Shakes, which is that really good albums, nothing like mind-blowing, but oh man, you got to see them live, like just on like a hot like summer day. I always like to set the scene when I talk about seeing festival bands. But like, I don't know, this might have been the year before. I think this was the year, Chris, before you came with me to Bonnaroo for the first time. I think it was 2012. They played at Bonnaroo on the Thursday night, like the opening night, at like a 10 o'clock set, and they were unreal. Like, and that at that point they were still just kind of getting started. And they, you know, they just shook the entire audience of thousands of people at Bonnaroo. Anyway, so going back to this song, Don't Want to Fight, this is just, I don't want to say more of the same, because I want to say that in a positive way. Like, this is Alabama Shakes sticking to their strengths. You have, you know, just an amazing guitar line. You have just amazing singing. It's not something that's going to like change the rock game, but you know, I hope that their trajectory is going to be on along the lines of like Black Keys,
yeah,
in the terms of
cool.
Like just kind of grinding out these live dates and really getting a bigger and bigger audience over time. And then eventually they'll be scooping up Grammys and collecting number one albums without really having, and maybe even having like some crossover radio hits. I don't know if this is it, but
yeah, I was going to ask that. Do you think they could have a big hit song?
I think so. Like, it doesn't seem that insane to me. Like,
doesn't
what
seem
do you
impossible.
Think, Joe?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, rock radio is such a weird thing. Not just rock radio, but radio in general. It's almost like every few years, suddenly pop radio is looking for one or two rock songs to like throw into the mix. And
And it's usually ones that have already been on the radar of rock radio and already conquered that for maybe a year. And it just has that staying power and that legitimacy. So program directors from pop and top 40 will like take a risk on it.
Right.
Like Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire, or Black Keys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think this song, I'm excited, really, for their next album, because I think I really like them and they're great live. The first album they had was very throwbacky in a good way, and I think one thing I like about this song is it sounds a little less like the band, and a little just a little funkier, and like her voice is a little angrier, it almost seems. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm exaggerating, so it's not like she's angry on this song, but there's a little more oomph to the delivery that you kind of didn't get on the first album.
I agree. I think they've kind of sanded off their extra parts, if you will, and become a little bit more muscular. They've figured out what they're best at, which is Brittany Howard singing, the guitar riffs, keeping things very quick and easy and accessible. And yeah, I mean, this is something that, like, add to like your spring playlist when this album comes out in April, I believe, and it's a good one.
All right, well, let's listen to it. It is Alabama Shakes, Don't Wanna Fight. That was Alabama Shakes. Next up, let's do Kendrick. So we have a new Kendrick Lamar track called The Black or the Berry. This is just, I mean, God, the roll up to this new Kendrick album has just been so strange. So we had I, which is, you know, a real kind of 180 for him, this kind of self-love, hippie, self-empowerment anthem. Then his, like, really, like, almost deconstructing hip-hop jazzy performance on the Colbert Show of an untitled song.
Yeah.
And now we've got this, which is The Black or the Berry, which is a very, I mean, I don't even know, I'm going to say I don't know how to describe it, which is a terrible thing because that's exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. But, you know, like, he sounds angry. It's very lyrically self-conscious. It's hard to tell if he's talking from the perspective of a character or himself. It seems like perhaps in lieu of some of the Twitter beef he got into with Azealia Banks, where she kind of called him out for, you know, allegedly saying insensitive things about, you know, cops and racial profiling. He sounds a little defensive on this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, defensive in terms that, I mean, he sings about or raps about being a hypocrite. So it sounds like he's very conflicted. Conflicted actually might be the wrong word. It sounds like he's just acknowledging, like, how complicated his viewpoints on the world are.
Yeah.
Like, for in one moment, he's, you know, acknowledging how screwed up everything is. In the other moment, he's acknowledging that maybe he doesn't care as much as he should or that he's culpable in some way. It's just a really, like, complicated song. You're not going to end it feeling any strong way other than maybe confused.
Pissed off.
And pissed off. What do you guys think?
I just want to interject and say that I listened to the song, and the first thing I thought was when it really started to get going was that he sounded a lot like Eminem on this song. Like, he said, like, if you listen to this song and then, like, The Way I Am, very
That's
similar flow.
I mean, yeah.
I'm not gonna rap The Way I Am. Sorry.
Yeah, and, like, he talks about being saddened over the death of Trayvon Martin and then points out that he's been responsible for the death of someone. Like, it's a heavy song.
Yeah.
It definitely is.
Like, shit. That's really heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if this is a song that becomes something that's pushed a lot as a single of the new Kendrick album, which is gonna get a lot of attention.
Yeah, it's definitely what I like about this from a technical standpoint is that, going back to like the Eminem comparison, he's so provocative with his words, and he's so rapid with his delivery, and yet he has this skill of never letting anything get lost in translation. Like, you get these very powerful images immediately, and mm-hmm. then you're on to the next image, then you're on to the next image, and he doesn't slow down, but it's also not too fast that you can't keep up. There's a lot of power in these words, and there's just like it. I'm more impressed. Like, it's going to take me a while to listen to this song and really get through everything he's trying to say, parse through the words. But I'm just impressed on a technical standpoint. I mean, not that he had to reprove himself right. as a rapper, but just what he's become since, like, it made me think of like his old mixtapes, like Section 80. Like, he's such a better rapper now.
That's true. That's a really good point. Yeah. I mean, yeah, his creative growth has been insane. And I mean, yeah, I couldn't be more curious and excited about the album. And I think that's the weird thing about these songs is, you know, it's not just that he sounds, not just that he's on top of his game, but that he's still like really challenging his sound and challenging like where rap can go to yeah. next. And there's not a ton of people you could say that about.
There's yeah. hardly any. I'm thinking like of mainstream rappers who will get that level of attention and promotion this year. Like, who else is using these kinds of song structures, this sort of lyrical delivery, these sorts of heavy themes? Like, Kanye gets really heavy too, but I think in less accessible ways.
Yeah.
He has a different way of getting heavy.
It's a different
heavy. Approach. Yeah. Kendrick kind of stands alone.
Yeah, I mean,
as far as mainstream rappers.
For sure. But let's listen to part of it. It's Kendrick Lamar. The song's called The Black or the Berry, and it features a vocal from Assassin, who was on, actually speaking of Kanye, he was on the Yeezus song I'm In It. So Kendrick, The Black or the Berry. Kendrick, and I think, Jason, you're totally right. I feel like this just came out, and I feel like I need, like, days to digest
yeah,
this.
Yeah, exactly.
Appropriately. But let's move on. So this is a C-Pain pick, Hot Chip, Huarache
yes.
Lights. And I have
yes.
to say, before you talk about it, Hot Chip, I have such, like, when they kind of had their breakthrough with The Warning, I was into them.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of lost me for a few years there. So I'm definitely... I've described myself as this before with other bands. I'm a fair weather friend to Hot Chip,
mm-hmm.
but this song is fantastic, and I'm like genuinely excited.
See,
about
I think they're really consistent.
Album.
I think just every 3 years you can bang, oh, Hot Chip's gonna put out a good album.
I would argue, and we've talked about this, Joe, that they've been getting better and better, and I think their last album is their best album. Like, in our heads, it didn't get like that mm-hmm. kind of pitchfork shine. Mm-hmm. I feel like that they're used to, but like. Man, that album's so good.
Yeah, I think
it's
with
so
I think with
good.
Indie music and indie bands like this that are big but won't really cross over, it gets hard when you're not a buzz band anymore because
right.
people are
they
always like thirsting for that buzz band narrative. And there isn't as much of a sexy narrative when just like a veteran band that consistently puts out great albums.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, they're there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
yeah, we should pay attention to this music because it's awesome. And this is such a good single.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I mean, the song is just like... What I really appreciate, it's a great dance jam to start with, but there's also just a lot of varied production in it, which you don't really get from a ton of indie music these days. Like, the production really switches up multiple, like, it's both kind of organic, and then there's some vocoder
yeah,
vocals
yeah.
in there.
It's like those LCD Sound System vibes, that like that throne that probably no one will really take since LCD stopped making music.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Well,
they're not dead, but the
yeah.
band is over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it definitely has like Daft Punk, LCD,
yeah, like heavy house vibes, and like that those big bass parts that come up throughout the song, and the high pitched vocals. There's just so much going on.
Yeah. Oh man, like it's just such a pleasure to listen to this band continue to make great music. And yeah, that's the thing is it like C-Pain said, it's hard because they just don't have like a sexy backstory. They're just like a really good band that every 3 years puts out a really good album. And they're going to put out another probably really good album of dance music. And yeah, it's just, what I feel about this song is that it's very good. And I think that there's going to be stuff on this album that's better than this. Mm. Like,
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
That's kind of how I feel. I feel like this is a good intro, if not like the standout single. It's very good. Like, again, I really, really like it, and I'm going to be playing a lot of it, but I feel like there's going to be something even better.
The best is yet to come.
Exactly.
Lipschitz prediction.
Yes. You got to listen to the, you got to listen in our heads again, man.
I do. I need to return to that.
So good.
I promise. This week, I will do that. So, yeah, this is Hot Chip, Huarache Lights. And it's from the upcoming sixth album, Why Make Sense? Question mark? I know every single thing. Be just right. Hot Chip. Next up, let's do a Speedy Ortiz.
Okay.
So, Speedy Ortiz just dropped a new song. It's called "Raising the Skate." I don't know if anyone's a fan of them, been paying attention. They are a great Brooklyn band led by Sadie Dupois, and she has this real like. It's undeniable. Like, you listen to it, and you're like, yes, this person grew up listening to and loving '90s alt rock. Like, you definitely get strong like. Like, she has a master's course in Stephen Malkmus, basically. Mm. But unlike a lot of that music, her songs really stand on their own and also just, like, really rock the hell out, which, you know, is also something you probably wouldn't say about Pavement, even at their height. Like, these are great rock songs. So the new one is called Raising the Skates. It's the first from their upcoming album, Foil Deer. And it also one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it is that part of the chorus is, "I'm not bossy, I'm the boss," which is the title of Sinead O'Connor's last album. So I just have to wonder, like, is this like a Sinead shout-out?
Shout-out to Sinead.
Hopefully this is Speedy Ortiz, like, tipping the hat to latter-day Sinead O'Connor. But Chris, what do you think? You have thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's fantastic. In a way that I like to see bands like Sadie, that, like, Speedy Ortiz develop, where you start off with them and the instrumentals are really good. The guitars, as you were saying, they know what they're doing. The lyrics are sharp. The songwriting just often needs to get better, and that's what I think has happened here. This is a much tighter song than we've heard in the past from Speedy Ortiz, and I'm really excited about what they can do as they continue to just turn more people onto their music. Because I think we've seen a lot of similar punk bands like Waxahachie and Screaming Females do that lately. There's probably a couple more, but can't think of them right now, but those are two good examples of bands who are just steadily getting more attention with each album, starting to get outside the punk bubble and just making the songwriting tighter and tighter.
Yeah, and I think kind of speaking to what we were saying with like more media friendly narratives, like one thing Speedy Ortiz has going for them is
the buzz band.
I mean, this is only their second album, and the first one for being really kind of just coming from an indie Brooklyn band and making like a big splash and getting coverage in Rolling Stone and a bunch of other publications, like feel this could be the album that kind of like pumps them to the next level.
Yeah. Do they live in Brooklyn? Cause I know they have Massachusetts roots.
You're right. I keep saying Brooklyn. I feel
it's like,
I feel like they live in Brooklyn, bands. But they might be like Massachusetts.
And
they
also what I find a lot is journalists or people who just read things tend to just remember where the band grew up and just don't take into account that usually members just move around and just live in different places.
Right. I feel like it's because I saw them do a lot of shows in the early days in Brooklyn. I was like, oh, they're Brooklyn. But like so many people living in Brooklyn, no, they're actually from Massachusetts. Thank you for pointing that out. Fact check. Chris Payne on the fact check. But yeah, it's a really cool song. So let's listen to it. Speedy Ortiz, Raise the Skate. Reflection in a gold sheet. I'm not. All right, that was Speedy Ortiz. And Chris, what were you going to say about?
Oh, I just think Speedy Ortiz is a great band name.
Yeah, it's
Destined
a really
for success.
We all agree. Speedy Ortiz, best band name of the podcast. Sorry, Florence Plus the Machine.
Oh, Alabama Shakes. Ooh.
Alabama Shakes is a weird band name. I don't know.
I like
mean,
it.
It kind of gives you a sense of what their sound is.
I feel
like
Listen, I love the Speedy. Like, that's
it
a
mean?
Good, like, I feel like that's a good, like, Billboard.com poll.
that's
five people would vote in.
What's
the best band name? Speedy Ortiz or
what's the best
it would be
indie
cool to just have
name.
Like pop fans look at names of a bunch of punk and DIY bands and say which names they think are best.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, when you think about it, Hot Chip is not the coolest name. Like,
that's
I mean,
a cool
like,
name.
This
I
potato
think.
Chip is just too hot, or this computer
or they're,
chip.
They're,
ouch,
they're,
ouch.
They're British, so maybe it's about a French fry.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, never mind then. It's great then, because a hot French fry. Who does? Anyways, this is total tangent. Let's talk about Jason Pick, Tori Kelly. Song
Tori
is called
Kelly.
Nobody Love.
Yeah, so Tori Kelly is a female pop artist who is being managed by Scooter Braun. She's in the Scooter Braun class, and she's been trying to make it happen for a while. This is her new single. It's called Nobody Love. I'm reading the credits. It's Max Martin co-wrote this. I wanted to see if he co-wrote it or wrote it. He co-wrote it. Max Martin actually serves as the executive producer on her album, so it's definitely something to pay attention to. I don't think that this song is her breakthrough. She's been trying to find a breakout single for a while. This is the lead single from her album. It comes out in the spring, and it's you know, Max Martin, who just won his first Grammy, is a pop god, and I don't think that this song is a standout, unfortunately. I like what she does on the track. I think that she has very interesting vocals in a way that is very warm and compelling, but it just doesn't sound like this is the song to really take it there. What'd you think, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I was, since you selected it, I was kind of ready to lock horns, Madonna dancer style, but
oh yeah,
I agree with you on this. Yeah, I listened to this, and I mean, I don't know, I just couldn't get over the feeling that it almost sounds a little kiddish, a little like
that's how
music,
I feel, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It just like, I don't know. It could be a Disney crossover type
I mean,
song.
The thing is that this is a project with a really great pedigree, and I think that's why people are paying attention to it. You know, there's a ton of aspiring female pop artists out there, but not many of them have their album executive produced by Max Martin, have the same manager as like Bieber and stuff like that.
Yeah, isn't it kind of out of the ordinary too that he took on a female artist? Because I feel like it's mostly like young boy up and comers.
Carly Rae,
I
think that might be the only one, maybe. Unless
I think
I'm blanking.
He has a K-pop female. I don't know.
He does have Psy.
He has Psy.
There's really no point there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that Carly Rae album was so good.
I really wish
that had gotten more attention.
Let's just talk about the new
Kiss.
Yeah, new new single in March.
I'm really excited.
Produced, written by Dev Hines.
I think so. Well, she was in the
I can't imagine that.
This Carly
Rae
album
still can't believe that happens.
Be
It's
like
Dev
what
Hines.
Pop bloggers dream about coming to
no,
life.
That's
it
like,
literally is.
I think Pop Justice, which is like a UK blog, posted that, and they were just like had like 20 exclamation points. It was perfect. But anyway, back to Tori Kelly. Yeah, I mean, this is a project that I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on, but I'm not sold on Tori just yet because of this song.
Totally. Well, let's listen to it. Tori Kelly, Nobody Love.
I should be more cynical and tell myself it's not okay.
That was Tori Kelly. Next up, we are going to go to the Mowglies, who stopped by the Billboard Studios to perform their new single, I'm Good, and also talk about it. But before we do that, I want to say thank you to Jason and Chris for swinging by.
Hey, man.
Much appreciated.
No problem.
Of course.
Love you guys. All right, let's cut to the Mowglies.
They're coming in right now.
Here they are. Hi, guys.
What's up, guys? We're the Mowglies, and this is our single, I'm Good. Check it out.
Hello, I'm sitting here with the Mowglies on the Must Hear Music podcast. They just performed their new single, I'm Good, which sounded awesome. It sounded beyond good,
nice.
By the way. You guys sound great. So what, well, first, you guys have a pretty massive band. Do you want to just quick go down the line and say your names?
Sure thing.
Kick it off.
I'm Andy, and I play the drums in the Mowglies.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, Andy.
I'm Dave. I play keys.
Hey, I'm Matt. I play bass.
Hey, I'm Josh. I play guitar and sing.
Hey, I'm Colin. I play guitar and sing.
Hey, I'm Katie. I sing.
I'm Spencer, and I play guitar and sing.
Cool. So where, I guess this is your new single, it just came out the other day.
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. So where did this come from? Like, how'd you guys write this?
We actually were approached about doing this anti-bullying campaign with a bunch of different artists, and it just sounded like something we wanted to get on board with. So we went over there one day and collaborated with some people and made a song, and then just kind of never really thought much of it for, you know, a few months. And then our label came back and they said, you know, we really love this song and we think you guys should re-record it and put it on the record. And so we did. We worked with some other friends of ours and made it something that we were really excited about. And it came from this place of pretty cool intention just to make people feel good.
Yeah, well, it's super catchy. I mean, I feel like it's just going through your head like every hour of every day.
Thanks. That's great. That's awesome. Like I said, you know, we just kind of wanted to make people send a message out to be nice and positive and help people that were getting bullied. And it turns out it's kind of catchy and people are digging it. And that's, we're excited about it.
Yeah,
we're excited to see how it goes.
We also just realized how much every day how much people say, I'm good. Like, you're like, hey, want a Snickers? And they're like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, it's true.
It happens every conversation I've had, I think, since the birth of this song.
It's true. And every time it happens, we're like,
gah! Oh, there it is.
There it is.
And so I'm just curious, you know, this is like definitely a poppy song, but you guys have a pretty big band. Do you guys jam as well? Like more like extended type stuff?
Yeah.
We
jam.
The other day, actually, we turned off the lights and jammed. And it
we jammed in the dark.
The boys jam all the time.
That was cool.
I think that when we get the opportunity in our live show, when we have like 90 minute sets regularly, mm-hmm. it'll be really cool to see, you know, what everybody does. I think there'll be a lot of jamming, a lot of inviting other friends up to jam while Kate takes a sip of a drink.
Katie tambourine solo, maybe?
Yeah.
One can only hope.
Also, to clear it up, when we say jam, we don't mean like fish jam. We mean like halftime just rocking like E minor or something for like an hour and a half.
Dave can go pretty nuts on the old keys.
Yeah, we can play E minor so
David,
well. You guys.
David, tell us about your keyboard playing
skills.
I've
heard of that chord.
Do you like playing keyboard, Dave?
I like the keyboards.
Dave, can you play an N chord?
Can you play an N minor? Sorry, what do you want to talk about?
So how did you guys come together as a band?
We were living in LA, and me and Katie and Josh and Matt and Dave and Andy and Spencer started the Mowglies. And we were just like kind of jamming in on the E minor chord for a long time in the garage. And
A minor at that time,
A minor
actually,
in the valley.
We thought we were so
And we like wrote some songs that I guess we didn't think were all that bad. And then we were like, maybe we should do this for real. And then we started playing shows in Venice Beach.
We started and never stopped playing shows.
Yeah.
That's true.
And now we're here. Now we're here talking to you.
It is very interesting how we all came together just kind of through different threads of life. And we all kind of, some of the band grew up together, and then a few of us came in a little later. And it's just cool. It's like such a small world sometimes, you know, and that's one of those.
I had biology with Andy in 10th grade.
You nice. Love telling that story.
So that's where it all began, biology in 10th grade.
Actually, Andy and I were in a play when we were like six.
Yeah.
Spencer had biology with Andy in 10th
grade. It was like a horrible original play called Five Phony Fairy Tales.
It wasn't horrible.
It was so bad.
Me and Josh were from the farmlands.
Yeah, we actually lived in Koreatown, Colin and I, together in LA, but we never knew each other at that time. And we found out later that we lived like a block away from each other.
Mm-hmm. What? You lived in Koreatown?
We were going to the different karaoke bars, man.
Yep.
I think our paths have been kind of crossing, like ships passing in the night for years. Mm-hmm. And finally, at some point, we all met.
Ships passing in the night, Hemingway.
And so you've got album number two coming up. How different is it from the first one?
I think it's pretty different, which I'm really excited about because I think it's like matured, and I think it's really, really honest and cool. And not that the other one wasn't. It's just like we've expanded upon some ideas, and I feel like really stoked to say these things to the world. You know, just new things to tell people about.
And musically and production wise, we got to collaborate with some really, really great. Talented people,
awesome,
which was really cool, and I think they kind of upped our sound a lot. They did a lot to make the songs as big and strong as they can be, which was really cool. And we had a time frame on this album, which we never had with the first one. We were just kind of making music after work on the weekends, and and this time it was like, all right,
it's due on Monday, and we're like, but it's Sunday.
homework.
We also got a lot better at our instruments and our voices and all that. So I think that has a lot to do with
We're a much better band than the first 4 years. We were so messy and drunk on the on the floor of bars. Not laying down, but playing on the floor of bars.
We're still drunk. We're just less messy.
I'm still just as messy and drunk. Not right now, though.
Okay, so and that comes out April 14th, right?
It does.
That's correct. All
right. Yeah.
Perfect. I'm glad I remember that.
Isn't that someone's birthday?
It's your birthday.
It's her birthday. It's also the day before tax day.
Oh god!
That's right.
I owe those guys a bunch.
Great reminder.
Oh brother!
That birthday.
Oh,
so
man.
If you're feeling depressed around tax day, throw on I'm Good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're gonna use that
tax return anthem. This is.
Yeah. Oh my god! Could you imagine? This is the tax return anthem. I'm good.
Hey, man, put it in an H&R Block commercial. Yeah. Pay our taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably get taxed on whatever we get paid for it, but yeah.
Taxes, jokes.
All right. Well, that's all I have for you guys. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us. Really appreciate it. And thanks everyone for listening.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.